Welcome, everyone. My name is Fausto from Cyber Trading, and I am so looking forward to today's event. I have such an old friend of mine. I've been known him, I probably would say, maybe like almost 25 years, I would say, Norman.
Be careful with the old.
Well, we're dinosaurs, but you know what? We keep going and keep pushing away. But I'm really looking forward. I have Norman Howell here from the Discipline Trader. And really look forward to having him. He's been traveling around the world. He's written 7 books. My God, I couldn't even write one for crying out loud. I don't know how you have the time to write 7, but he's going to talk about something that I am really looking forward to on the psychology part about the discipline part of trading, which I know everyone has a problem. I know everybody is going to enjoy this more than anything, as much as I do. I've learned so much from him. He has spent so much time, so much money, so trained tens of hundreds of thousands of people over the years. But the thing is, you know, I need to learn some things. I need some help right now myself after seeing what's with the market being volatile, this election and everything else going on. But Norman, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing great. How is the best dressed trader in the world doing? I can't believe you're not wearing, used to be a 3-piece suit all the time, but I guess you got rid of the vests. I don't know.
You know what happened? You know what? And that, now that we don't do as many on-sites and like I have to do any offices. I tell you, COVID changed everything. Like I closed my office down. All my staff is all over the country now, actually all over the world. And, I have to go dress up the way I have to. And you know what? I don't know. To me, it's like a costume. You know what I mean? Look at you. You like me. You're wearing the same thing. I guess at our age.
I'm the good guy, apparently, and you're the bad guy. I got the right.
I can't even fit in my clothes anymore. You know, I lost some weight. I tried to do a change. I lost like 40 pounds. And so even if I put that suit on, I couldn't even fit it anyway. So it's not even worth it. Why buy new ones? But tell me a little bit about Norman. So what have you been up to? How's everything going on your end?
Well, everything is great. You know, when you're dealing with the mental and emotional issues with traders, it's a fight. It's a fight to everybody will admit that the mental and emotional part of the, you know, when we were doing a lot of the expos and so on, they usually have me up first where I would generate some energy, run around, not so much like Tony Robbins, but I was a short Tony Robbins, just kind of gearing up everybody for the speakers that followed me, but my topic of the mental and emotional, I always ask, how many people believe it's important? Everybody raise their hand, give me a percentage. They yell out 90%, 99%. And yet when it comes to doing anything about it, the hands go down. You know, I don't really need it right now. Things are going well for me. And I don't, for people to admit that, that they're doing poorly in trading, it becomes an ego thing. I mean, we all know, the majority of traders who try this lose. Only those that kind of learn from those losses and are willing to change, not only to try to find a trading plan that matches them, but also to look inside and see. If you're a trader, if you're a person that has very little patience and you've been known about that all your life, why would you have a trading plan that requires you to sit there and wait for the next signal? Just wait and wait. It's going to stress you and strain you. You need a trading plan that has a trigger that, you know, moves quickly, that happens often, where you're defending. I know that you're a big defender of losses, and that's really the key. If you can keep those losses small, the winners will take care of themselves if you have a good trading plan. But, you know, the working with traders on the mental and emotional has always been a challenge, and it continues to be a challenge. But I've learned to show them the science behind it so that the logical mind can kind of grab onto it. And so I can get another 3 or 4% of those 100 to believe that maybe they should do something about it. So, you know, it's always been a fight. But it's been an enjoyable fight, and because I know that when people do pay attention, they can just turn everything around. It really is the key to many, many traders, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Norman, like I've known you for, like I said, for so long. I even took some of your classes myself because, listen, we all learn. Great traders never stop learning, and that's what they have to understand. And you know, and being around as long as we have, you know, we've gone through so many of the catastrophes in life. You've been around, when I've been around, you know, we had the internet bubble, we had the financial crisis, 9/11, Hurricane Sandy, when it closed down all of Manhattan for almost like 21 days, and, you know, COVID, all these things. And I think that the big thing that people don't understand is that there comes a time where we sell our winners too soon, and we hold our losers too long. And that's why, like you said earlier, and I use the same, you know, the line in my classes, you know, the winners take care of themselves. The losers we have to focus on. That's why I spend more time educating. I would say 80% of my class is specifically focusing on losers. People, why don't you talk about the winners? I'm like, the winners, listen, if you were healthy, okay, you don't go to the doctor other than a yearly checkup. That's not where you go. You go to the doctor because you're sick, okay? And that's what you need to figure out so you don't make that mistake, which leads me to that question I want to ask you, like, and why everyone is listening to. Because people always ask me this, and I always say this to all my, you know, everybody I interview. They're like, if you're such a great trader, why do you teach? You know, what got you into the education business, you know, Norman? Because I think that's what people have to understand. You know, I know we all like to say, like, to give back and everything else, and, you know, like anything else, but what got you started to start the Disciplined Trader?
Well, that's an excellent, first of all, I can't believe that you say my wife constantly says, why are you looking at somebody else's? Why are you learning some more? Why are you looking at Fausto's presentation? I mean, don't you know you're doing well? Why would you, you know, it's a never ending learning. You know, we always mm-hmm. want to improve. I mean, once you have the loss thing down, you know, then everything kind of open, you're doing it. You just want to make just a little bit more because you've got that part now. So I'm really glad you said that. Well, for me, I actually started, you know, Syosset, where you're from. Were you born in Syosset?
No, that was my office. You know, I was actually a South Shore person. I was down in Long Island. I was actually in Lindbrook, but now I live in Manhasset.
Wrestling got me through college. I had a Scholastic scholarship half, and then the other half was wrestling.
Not change the subject, but you see that photo? That's my son, wrestling.
Oh, I like it. Beautiful. He's got the arms. He's got those arms.
He's great sport, by the way. Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I like that. Again, you know, brothers from it's the same mother. In any event, whatever that expression is. But, you know, I think that the wrestling taught me that if you can focus in on a particular skill, that you can actually get pretty good at it, you know. And it got me, you know, I studied math. Actually, I went as an engineer. Mechanics, I couldn't, it took me three times around to get a C in mechanics, and I couldn't. So I added up all my credits, mathematics. So I've got a couple of degrees in mathematics. It was the quickest way out the door. But I was working as a waiter during college, and I wound up running the restaurant that was called the Prime and Wine Restaurant in Cincinnati, Ohio. But I realized after a while that the money was in nightclubs. So I was hired by a place called, I was in my late 20s now, by the American Events Corporation, and I was hired to put together the basic, something called the Park Avenue Clubs. And we were, Studio 54 is supposed to be biggest competitor.
I know the owner actually just passed away.
Oh yeah, I know.
Marty.
That never really happened. But I mean, we were charging $1,000 membership in the late 70s but we gave the first, to Ray Nitschke, got the first the old football player from Milwaukee. In any event, so you can only be in that business for about a year, year and a half. That was about it. So I jumped in my Volkswagen Bug and I headed to California where my brother was. He was telling me about a guy named Harry Brown, who was one of the original Gold Bugs. And he said, you know, Norman, you always had that personality. You're really good at selling. Why don't you try to sell gold? So I looked in the paper and I found a place that was selling gold and silver options. So I, now we're in 1979. So I went in there, I sold my first gold call, and then I walked in there 3 weeks later, the desks were gone, everybody was gone, and I never got paid, and the place was a sham. And I said, what is going on here? What kind of business is this? So I decided to, that I had some talent with working on how to find the right options and so on. So I went with a firm at the time that was one of the largest option firm. Within about a year and a half, I was the regional sales manager and then the regional vice president. I was in charge of 60 different brokers.
Wow.
That were trading for their clients, and they all had their own trading plans. This is where I learned about trading plans. They would come to my, you know, when they were in the bottom of the tote board, when they weren't doing well for the clients, I'd bring them in, and the lines and the too much of a mess. This is why later, and in fact now, I have something called simple trading plans, because simple is really the best way to do the tried and true ways of trading. Make it simple and just be consistent. In any event, but more to your question, right at that time when I started with the major firm, I married Tisha, my wife of now 43 years.
Wow.
And she-
You're a dinosaur. You're a unicorn, I meant. You don't hear that.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, and she was a flight attendant at the time. And I said, let me take you out of this. She was hypnotizing. She was a hypnotist. I trained, had a license, but, you know, and I said, let me set you up with an office. Let me put you, she wound up, anyway, you know, within 5 or 6 years, she was one of the most recognized hypnotherapists in the world. The cover of Hypnosis and Psychology Magazine, those kinds of things. So when you ask how I got into that, she would watch me train. And, you know, she could tell when I walked out the door, if I had a good day or a bad day,
mm-hmm.
you know, ah, God damn it, maybe, you know, or hey, let's go out and eat, you know, let's go have lobster. There was no middle ground for me, and my accounts, although they had a slight up, but those you can't live like that.
No,
you know, you can't live like that. So she says, why don't you let me work with you? Why don't you let me? I said no. For years, I said no. No, I can do it. Just like I'm complaining about people that come to me the exact same way. I had an ego. I knew what I was doing. I ran a big firm. You don't have to tell me. I know. I know it all. Well, after you know a couple more years of struggle, I said, let's go ahead. Sit me down. Let's do it. Well, literally within weeks, a couple of months, all of a sudden, you know, things started to really smooth out. She couldn't tell if I had a good or bad day when I left. And that's what got me started with believing that, boy, if I had had Tisha when I was running that big room, you know, we could have done a lot better for our clients with traders that were more stable mentally. So that's pretty much how I got started and how what the emphasis was for me. And so in 2000, we started the Disciplined Trader, where Tisha partnered with me, said goodbye to a private practice and partnered with me to help traders to be, you know, consistent in their trading. And that's really how it all began.
So then, when did you start it? So how long has it been? How long have you been in the business for now?
Well, the Disciplined Trader has been in, you know, I was a commodity trading advisor. I actually worked for Payne Weber for a few years. And I was a commodity trading advisor managing, you know, millions for $250,000 accounts and more. At that time, you had to be a qualified account to be in to be trading with a CTA. And because my love has always been options, then futures when I really got into futures. But, you know, that, and I was making 20% of what I earned for clients. And, you know, so it was going very, very well. When I had a downtime, you know, it doesn't go well because you don't make any money unless your clients make money. So, then all of a sudden I noticed just a couple of years ago, almost 3 years now, this whole thing about prop trading. And to me, when I first looked at it, I could not believe it. I could not believe that they would allow you to trade somebody else's money and give you 90% of the profit. And I thought to myself, is that real? So I experimented with it. I opened an account. I passed the evaluation. I made some money and they wired money into my account. And I called my bank and I said, hey, is this money real? Can I spend this money? Yeah, it's fine. And ever since then, I've been a big proponent of people the right people at the right time approaching this whole, it's a big wave now of prop trading. Now, it doesn't take out, you know, you would think that trading somebody else's money would take out a lot of the mental and emotional and hey, I lose money, it's their money. You know, if you're a responsible person, that doesn't come up. You know, you don't want to, but if you'll, and those, again, like you said before, the parameters, very tight. On a $50,000 account, you can't lose. You back off $2,500 from your open trade high, not your P&S high, but your open trade high. If I have $1,000 profit open and I let it go to break even, you're trading your own account. You forgive yourself. But now that line is not $2,500, it's $1,500. So they're very, very strict. You have to think like a professional trader. And so that's what I've been coaching people recently on doing this whole thing about it. But you know, the idea of making 90% of what you earn rather than the 20% you're working under pressure in a big firm, it's really a dream if you take trading seriously. You know, if you there's a book that I always recommend by the late Joe Ross, and you knew Joe. He wrote a book called Trading is a Business, where you frame your trading as a business. If you lose a trade, if you lose something, it's just like you put an ad in a magazine, nobody called, you'll never do that again. You know, you learn from your mistakes in business, just like you learn from your mistakes if you're smart. Otherwise, you'll be a business that'll go out of business pretty fast as you keep spending on a magazine that you never get any calls from. But on the other hand, and you'll do the same in trading. So,
that leads me to that question, Norman. I mean, like, listen, you've been doing it for so long and you're always trying something different. You listen to other presenters, but like, you know, the people here, like a lot of them are trying to start out or they got themselves in trouble. You know what I mean? And they're, you know, and regardless of like, you know, maybe you should try this and try that. I think the biggest thing that I always found, and the reason why people come to gurus, number one, and then they probably come to you second, because I always tell them like, listen, because they'll try it on their own. They'll fail miserably because it is a big failure rate, because part of the issue is they're just trading stocks that just what we call not tradable, meaning right. they're too fast. They got big spreads and they don't know that. They just think they can only trade the fabulous seven. Then when they start seeing it, then there's the emotional part come in. So when you come into, you know, when you teach your classes, you know, when it comes to, you know, the disciplined trader, what are you finding is the biggest challenge that people are having, you know, to get past that hump of the psychology part about it? I mean, I know the answer. I try to teach you, but for somebody that's, you know, been doing it, that's your main forte, what you've been teaching. What have you find has been the biggest challenge that people are having?
Yeah, you know, off the air when we first, before we got live, you know, you were actually stressing this to me, and you were absolutely right. It's the fear of losing. Traders have the fear of losing, and from then cascades all of the other things: hesitation to pull the trigger, staying in trades much too long. I mean, and this is it's a learned response. When you fear losing, you've created that in yourself. We operate the way we respond to our trading plan when it asks us to take a trade is based on how we've contributed to our subconscious minds. When you have a thought, especially if you're in a relaxed state, or you're thinking about it afterwards, boy, I had a tough day, I just keep losing. These kinds of thoughts, maybe I should be more careful. These create what they call neural pathways. These are actually energy pathways, and I show pictures of this in my presentations where these neural pathways, when you have enough of them, if you keep repeating the same thing to yourself, either out loud or to yourself, you're shooting these neural pathways with the same thought energy. Enough of that creates what they call a neural net. This is a neural net in your subconscious mind that you operate from. And so when consciously you ask yourself, should I take the trade? You get the stimulus from your trading plan to take the trade. You refer unconsciously to your subconscious mind, the dominant neural net that says, I keep losing, I better be careful. That's why you hesitate. You say to yourself, well, let me be a little clear. You think you're thinking about it. You think your subconscious, that voice, you think it, that's not what's controlling you. It's all of the input that you've given yourself before. So how do you change that? How do you go from I'm hesitating to pull the trigger because I have a fear of losing too. Every time I make a trade, I know what's happening. I see the setup. I put my finger on the mouse. I depress the mouse. And when that bar closes, when that candle closes, my finger lifts off. And that, I have no hesitation. Why? Because my neural net says you're a wise and disciplined trader, and you do the things that a wise and disciplined trader does. When your trading plan gives you the stimulus to take a trade, you take it without hesitation. You're a wise and disciplined trader, and you do the things that a wise and disciplined trader does. I'm just quoting you now from a meditation that we have for people who can't pull the trigger. If they sit in a chair and they just take a few deep breaths and they listen to our 7 or 10 minute recording, meditation on pulling the trigger without hesitation, and they do that every day, just 7 or 8 minutes before they start trading for a week, 5 times. Mm-hmm. That's hard head, you may need another week. But you will create enough neural pathways to create a new neural net that will supplant the old one. And now you will start acting the right way. So what you put in your brain scientifically is what is going to come out when you trade. So if you're recognizing that if you're telling yourself all of these things, you got to stop. I mean, even in a bad day, I say, congratulations, you took all your trades properly, didn't work out today, fine. I know over the long term, I'll do just fine, as I have been and as I always will be. Those kinds of thoughts, and I'm not saying play with your, you know, positive games in your mind, but the science says that if you keep telling yourself that you're not going to make it, that you can't do it, that you're hesitating, that's exactly what you're going to get.
So how did it overcome that? I mean, like, I always try to tell everybody on the psychology part of that, because I kind of teach a little, I have to kind of teach a little psychology part of it, just more as a trader's mentality. I'll just tell them, say, hey, listen, you're probably just trading way too many shares. You know what I mean? Just take a step back. Like, I'll get people that are stuck on demo mode. You know what I mean? I'm like, demo mode, like, you know, and they'll be stuck on demo mode for months. I'm like, listen, how are you paying your bills? I mean, aren't you planning on doing this as a career? You have to build up your confidence. Like, I have no feelings towards a stock. When I do my events, you know, Norman, I tell everybody, so listen, I don't really care what the company does. I don't care what if you're a Republican or Democrat politics, or if you're against this or you hate that. Like I did a video and I was shocked myself how many people hate Elon Musk. You know, I'm like, look at this. But I'm saying, listen, I'm on your side. I'm just trading the stock. You know what I mean? Just like, it's an opportunity. The stock got destroyed. You know what I mean? Like, well, you're not going to trade because you don't like it? Then short the damn thing. You know, let me know how that works out for you. You know what I mean? Like, you can't take emotions involved, but some people just don't know how to hit the trigger. And I just tell them, listen, just work with small shares. Don't look at the company. Don't get caught up on the you know, that, oh, it's the Fabulous Seven stocks and stuff like that. But then they get the issue that where I think that where you come into it is that sometimes they can't even get past that one share. You know what I mean? I tell them, just buy one share of stock. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to lose money. But then you can see all the buttons clicking in and you can see your reports coming in. It's not like when I started, I had to pay $20 a ticket and you can't make $20 a ticket on one share.
You remember those days? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, now they're free and you're making a big deal about it. Just hit the damn button and just do it. I mean, I always tell everybody this, okay? You got married, right? I'm married for almost 26 years and so on. What's the hardest, like, if you ever wanted to, like, to meet somebody, all right, if you don't talk to them, you're never going to meet somebody, right? Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing that could happen? They say no, right? That's the worst thing that happened. And you know what? Why did she say no? He said no, and just learn from it. And you know what? You got to keep trying. It's like trading. You just got to keep trying and doing it. But the issue that I find where, you know, I think where I kind of spend most of my time is just on the losers. Like, everyone needs to control those losses. But where you got to come in is the mental part about it. Like, that's where the biggest challenges are, where I find that people have, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're asking the right guy. Because first of all, I had a twin brother who passed away about 15 years ago. But he won best in high school, most likely to succeed, and most talented. I won biggest flirt. So yeah. Approaching people and you know, there's a couple of bad examples, but you know, you've got to get the out there. And I think probably that, you know, personality trait helps me as a trader. But you mentioned something very important, and that is what you do in your trading. You lighten up the number of shares, trade a stock, trade forward that doesn't move a lot, and trade things that you can learn the process, and then you can go to more and more action. I find that probably the most and to that point, you can change your mindset two different ways for a trader. One is doing exactly what I talked about, getting into a meditative state and contributing to your mind the right kinds of thoughts to create the right neural nets. That's a very important thing to do. The other thing to do is to adjust your trading plan and the way you trade to who you are so that you don't have to change. I mentioned something about being patient before. But the idea, and I think this is the most undervalued asset that a trader has, and that is position sizing. In the beginning, keep it small, learn how to win, learn how to trade consistently, and then don't jump. Go, it took me years to really trade enough so that I knew that this was my retirement path. This is where I wanted to go. And the idea of in fact, when you have a trading plan, I think it's best to identify what I call A-plus triggers, situations or formations that when triggered, will get you in. I'm going to call it two-thirds of the time. If you can find a trigger that moves in your direction, to me, what I call a frequent, reliable trigger, something that occurs frequently so that you don't have to test your patience. We all want to make money. We all have that patient things going on a little bit. And frequent, and then reliable, something that when it does trigger, you know you're going to get an initial pop most of the time, say two-thirds of the time. And so I always suggest that traders, and I've never been a scalper. I was never a scalper. I was always a person that took a trigger and then managed it on the way up. But when you're prop trading, which is what I've been coaching mostly, and because they judge you on your open trade equity, you don't want to let go. And if you can, I always suggest that traders take on at least two contracts. And if you're trading stocks, you take on 100 shares, 50-50. Treat them as two. When you get your initial pop, and I show them how to measure what to expect based on the trigger, take that first half, that first contract, and pad your distance to that red line that you don't want to, lift yourself away from that red line, and then manage the second position in the same way that I talk, so what I call lewd and lascivious. Listen, everybody wants to, we're not in this to generally, keep on making little bits. You want to give yourself a chance, but you also want to trade responsibly. So when you position size, I always say take a minimum of two positions in the futures market. If you're trading gold and it's just too big to take on 200 ounce contracts, go ahead and go to the micros. There's nothing shameful about going to a very small 1/10 of a contract and taking four and treating them as two and two.
I think everyone's trying to just hit it big. They think this is like Vegas. You know what I mean? They're like, they don't realize it's a career thing. And I'm telling them, like, the stock market's not going to go out of business. I'm like, at the end of the day, Norman, I tell them that, listen, when you and I die, the stock market's still going to be here. The only thing that I can guarantee you is death and taxes, in a stock market. So don't try to kill it. But and that's why I think the issue is, like you just said, you got to like piece yourself up to it, like journaling. Like when we teach our students, we teach them how to journal. And then we do one-on-one coaching. I'm like, we look at their journals and like, where's your journal? Oh, I didn't do it today. And let me ask you a dumb question. You spend $70,000 a year to go to college, right? Or you're paying your kid to go to college and you ask him, why did he fail? You know what I mean? Like, other than having a good time at the frats and everything else, I have two kids and one graduated, and like, I got to be on top of them. I'm blowing a ton of money sending them. And I'm like, did you do your homework? Oh, I didn't get to it. I'm like, then what the hell am I paying you there for? What are you wasting your time? So like you said, journaling is very key. And like you just mentioned, you got to learn from those mistakes, and you could always scale the way up. Like I tell my traders this, and I'm not embarrassed to say, I was never a big trader. Because I tried to become a big trader. I just didn't have the emotions to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it gets to a point where, you know, I can't put that much money in the line. You know what I mean? And I was always a consistent trader, but, you know, if I see two aces, yeah, I'll split them, you know, and I will go in heavy, you know, but when it comes down to it, you can't think that every hand you get is going to be two aces, you know, and the guy and the deal is showing six. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. You know? And I hear you on the blackjack. When I first went to California, my brother was he loved blackjack. So we'd go up to Tahoe. I'd sit at first base. He'd sit at third base. And at that time, they were dealing with one deck, and they'd have to bury that first card. And so one of us, depending on if it was a left-handed or right-handed dealer, we would get the count. We'd get the first count. And so, you know, so we had the card from Beat the Dealer, the book. And so we memorized that. But it's not dissimilar. I mean, you only have a little bit of an edge in blackjack. If you have a 2% edge, you're lucky. You know, if you're playing good blackjack, it's a grind. And that's where that's where I learned, if you just keep grinding and you stay on top of it, you can do well. And we did well, you know, for a long time, until I realized that, you know, there was a lot more money in trading stocks and trading commodities. So, but those lessons, you know, you asked me what makes me a solid trader now, and I would have to say that, you know, the wrestling focus. And my body, you know, my body is still in pretty good shape.
You look great. How old are you? 55?
Yeah, I was 75. I just said 75.
Get out of here. You're not 75, are you?
75, yes. So, yes, I know.
You got old hair.
I don't color my hair. You know, this is the wrestling. You know, I think wrestling kept my hair dark too. I'm not sure. But the idea is that when you build a base, and I think this is it, your son's building a base. You almost never have to worry about him as far as, you know, the physical health is concerned. Because once you have that base, you can always, same with trading, you know, don't get ahead of yourself. You said it in so many different ways in the last soliloquy. Know yourself, mm-hmm. You know, you know what you can handle and you know what you can't, you know, and what's comfortable. You got to stay comfortable. You got to stay within your range, and you can expand that range to a certain degree. In fact, I have to admit that most of the people I trade, when we're trading together online, they say, well, why do you only take, you know, two positions or four positions? You know, it's a $250,000 account you're trading. Why aren't you taking? Because I'm comfortable with that. You know,
right.
I can make plenty with the leverage, you know?
Yeah.
I can make plenty, you know?
Now, one other thing I always kind of preach, and I think you've trained thousands of people for psychological purposes. Like one of the things I try to teach psychologically is like I started another channel. I started something called the Faust to Home Living Channel, and as my therapy is like, people are like, well, what do you do in your off time? Yeah, well, I got backyard chickens. I garden. I love cooking, you know, and I run that channel, and you can watch those videos. And I guess that people come in and ask you is like, how do you mentally take yourself out of that? Because what happens, you could trade here all day, and you're not supposed to do that. People are like, well, I don't want to do this as a full-time job. I'm like, it's not a full-time job, you know, and that's one of the issues people have. But like, so how do you get into people's minds and tell them, like, how do you take a step back, do what you think is best? So, you know, because tomorrow is always another day, you know, and it's got to be to have a clear head.
You know, the trading again, you know, the futures, it's stock indexes, you can trade all but the hour, Eastern time, between 5 and 6. You can't be doing that.
Even crypto. I mean, like, I know people, like, they wake up in the middle of the night, they're looking at what's crypto doing. It's 24 hours. I'm like, it's a nightmare. You can't.
Yeah. No, you need the rest. It's just like your body needs rest. You need to get your 8 hours, 7 or 8 hours minimum. I told you about my beautiful wife. She is a lousy cook. I mean, the worst. I mean, she does make stock pepper. She's not Italian, so she doesn't know how to cook.
That's okay. Anybody can cook.
Yeah, I know. It's easy for you to say. You know, there's a guy that's almost got your spelling. He's kind of a famous guy, Fausto
Puglisi, the designer
for clothes. I think he's the designer for Who is it?
He's like another short girl.
Yeah, 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 one of the big names. Anyway,
you should buy his T-shirts. Like $500 he charges for that damn thing.
Cavelli, and that's who I think he works for. Anyway, as I'm Googling you and I'm thinking, should I really be doing this? But I said, who is this? I didn't know he was a designer. But no, I love cooking too. In fact, when I was in, just got back from Istanbul, that's where I caught the COVID on the plane. I'm just getting over it. But saffron, you know, you want to, I met my brothers there. My older brother, who's a year older, and my little brother, who's 65, we shared a room, a small room with three single beds, three old guys touring around, which is a hilly city, Istanbul, eating the, going on food hunts. But, you know, I think you've got to find your downtime. And I think that routines are very important. It's important in training. For instance, I tell people at 6 o'clock, I have my martini, which is, my wife makes a very good one. That's what she makes. Mm-hmm. She makes the martini, and then I have a little appetizer I make with it. And that's the way I start, you know, three or four of the.
You found your niche.
Yeah, that's what. So, but it's a process of me winding down and then enjoying the rest of the day. We watch stand-up comedy and so on. But you need that. You're a person, you know, you're a trader. It's just a role. You're somebody, you know, you've got to take care of yourself also mentally. This morning I went, even though I'm not feeling my oats, I did go to the gym, did some back pull downs, did some, a little chest. And of course a little, got to do some bicep, you know? So, you know, and then
show me your bicep.
It's actually,
look at that. It's unbelievable.
You know, again, the wrestling, you just ask your son. But yeah, it's important. And I think that you've got to honor what you're doing. It's when you don't do the right thing and you know you're not doing the right thing that everything unravels. And I think in trading, it really is not a matter of winning and losing. It's a matter of process. It's a matter of finding out what works and believing in it. You know, before anybody starts trading, I always advise that they look at yesterday's trading and see how you would have done if you had just followed your system as it's written. How would you have done?
Right.
And
right.
You'll normally, most of the time, I'm going to say, you know, 8 out of 10 times, maybe even you would have made a profit, some really well. Now, if yesterday was a lousy day, look at the next day and maybe the next day. And you'll see that over 3 days of following, you would have done fine over 3 days. So every day I inspire myself that my trading plan is going to work well for me. How? Because I always look back at the day before and the day before that if I have to. And I say to myself, nothing's changed. You know, people say, I love this, the market's changed. You know, my trading plan doesn't work anymore. It's changed. You've changed.
We love what we do. Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you show us a little bit? I mean, you can share your screen a little bit, because I think some people here, I mean, here we are talking about the history, about, like, you know, and going through all the war stories and everything else. Maybe just give everybody a little lesson, a little bit about, you know, why you've been doing this for over 30 years. And, like, just maybe just teach everyone here just a little bit about, you know, maybe just change just one or two things and, you know, how to make them a better trader.
All right, let's look at, and you know, I don't like to cherry pick.
You can cherry pick.
Yeah, here we go. Can you see, this is what we're seeing right now? Let's see. I'll wait for that to come up. I think we're in pretty good shape. Are we not seeing, this here?
Your screen's blank.
Yeah, interesting. Let's see why that is. Let's try to share something else. Let's try to share the entire screen. Maybe that will help. I think we're seeing a lot there.
There you go.
Okay, I'm just going to bring this down. Are you seeing me okay there?
Yeah, we see you great.
Okay, here's the, you talk about a simple trading plan. This is the NQ, which a lot of people trade. I'm just going to show you one of the triggers that I talk about in the simple trading plan. It's what I call the loaded gun simple trading plan. Here it is right now. Don't worry about them. This moving average is the 8-bar exponential moving average. And as you know, it's kind of the golden moving average. It's the EMA, the 8-bar. Some call it the 9. I like the 8. It's a little bit quicker, but I won't talk too much about this. This is the 34. It keeps us in and out of, it keeps us in trades that maybe we would get knocked out of. It keeps us out of trades that maybe we shouldn't be in. But here is right here. This is the loaded gun trigger. And it has nothing to do with the 34, only the 8. When you have a hesitation candle like this, I call it a hesitation candle. It's either a spinner like this or a doji, but a very small body. When the Japanese who put together candles, they really didn't care much about the wicks. They only really concentrated on the bodies. And so I've kind of learned to do that. When you have a hesitation where it spends, in this case, a five-minute candle. When you have 5 minutes of non-decision where it closes near where it opened, and then the next candle gives you a definitive move through the 8, that's triggered to buy, in this case, to sell. Okay? So this is the simple trading plan trigger. This is the original loaded gun trigger. Now, don't go doing this because it's situational. This happens to be right by a couple of tops that have happened. So maybe you want to increase your exposure a little bit, your trading numbers, the number of contracts that you want to take, as we were talking about before. So again, I treat half as a scalp and the other half as what I call a runner. So how much scalp should I take? Well, it's really contingent upon the power of the extension bar. And so I used to measure it exactly that, but now I've learned that over the years of trading it like this, the last couple of years, I take about 70% of this. This really assures me of the majority of taking my scalp the majority of the time. So I take my scalp and then I have my stop above the formation. And when I take my scalp, I immediately move the rest to break even. Okay. Now, what have I done? I've padded that bottom line. If you're prop trading, you're padding that red line so that you're staying away from it and you're giving yourself a chance to move. Now, I like to stay on the correct side in the short trade, on the lower side of the 8. Look what's happening here. Really a beautiful move here. I would be in this trade until we started to see sideways. We have rules about how long we're willing to stay in a trade waiting for it to happen. So in this particular case, it would have had a nice scalp here and it would have been out in this area. Can't go exactly what it is, but what I want to emphasize in this demonstration is the importance of a frequent, reliable trigger. Here it is again. Now, you could say it is here. You can say it is here, but I like to see a smaller body, and I don't like to go up against the 34. You see this? If this was the case, and I was looking to extend. But in this particular case, it's the same situation. I don't like to go up against the 34, but now we've got a double bottom. So you've got to learn your... You know, this is why I keep on learning. There's, you know, you could call this a triple bottom. You can call it a head and shoulders. You can make up whatever you want. But the truth is, it's tried this level a few times. And if you're a smart trader, you respect support and resistance. So here it is again. Small body, extension. Buy two, stop down here. Now, in this case, I may put my stop down here. Okay, if it's again, you've got to measure what your tolerance is for stop. But again, I'm looking for not a lot. I'm looking for about 2/3 of the distance here. I would put a limit sell in. I don't take a chance. Put my limit sell in, get my sell, move my stop to break even, and now I'm riding the 8 again. I mean, I didn't cherry, but this is today's chart. Okay, and now there are ways to defend yourself here. I may have been out in this area. You know, there are intelligent and professional ways to defend these kinds of moves, because I like to get on to the next move. I know my trigger is so strong that it may make sense. Here's another trigger that didn't work out. Okay, if you were to go, but this is not a trigger that I would have put much confidence in, because I like to take out a lot of the bottoms of here. Again, I don't want to get too much into it. Here's a trigger that worked out. Here's a trigger that didn't work out, but you may not take this because, you know, you have a problem here with this support area. But here it is again. Here it is again. Here it is again. this is where I love to take it. I love when these two moving averages are very close. And again, take your scalp here, move the stop to break even, and ride the ride. I'm giving you the simplistic version of it. Here it is. We'd be sure. Now, would you take this trade here? First of all, I like a smaller body on the hesitation candle, even though it comes through. But a lot of guys that trade this would take this because it's got a high probability of testing the high. I wouldn't take it because I don't like the risk. But here, look at this trade right here. Here it is again.
A double top.
It would be against a double top and a lot of an active double top. Yes, it's against the 34, which is not my favorite. So this would be a minimum position, even though, again, I'm like you. I'd rather underdo it than overdo it. And then boom, we're still in this trade. And we've just crossed moving out. This could be. So here in a simple, I like to be in markets with the action. I like to trade the euro dollar right now. I like to trade the yen, which became a thing the last couple of days. I like to be where the action is, and I like to find triggers that give me smaller risk compared to, this is a nice small risk compared to the possible action, and you can see why you'd like a trade like that.
Yeah, you bring up the yen really quick regarding us. So you're trading more forex?
Yeah, I like to trade. Let's see if I have the yeah. These are actually not the forex. This is the futures contract in the. This is the euro dollar, which I like. Euro dollar very very consistent with most systems. Here's that trigger again, right at the cross of the. Beautiful. And I say I ignore tails, but who can ignore a couple of hanging men or whatever they call it?
Yeah, hammers. You got a couple of hammers there.
And here's another trigger that was a beautiful trigger because it's a very short risk. And look where it led. And if you didn't get this one, here was a nice small one here. It's not my most exciting. You'd like to see a little bit more extension, but you love the low risk. It led you to this. Here's another trigger on the long side that you would not have expected more than just this. Here's one that you wouldn't take. Why? A number of reasons. Too big a risk, and it's against the here. This is one of our minor triggers, actually. We look at some of these engulfing patterns. I call it, we're still an A-plus trigger. But here's another trigger. Yes, we're straddling here, but there's no reason to believe there's enough distance between where I'd expect. Again, I'm looking at the length of the body, where I take my scalp, would have taken this trade. So you can see when you have a consistent, reliable trigger, and I've got more, there's more I can tell you about this, but again, don't go doing this just because you see, but this is, I like to trade the euro and I like to trade the yen. And I like to trade the yen when the market's a little bit faster because the yen can tend to, 10 is a lower basis. So the same percentage move is a little bit less action. Look at this. Here's the trigger. In the yen.
Well, let me ask you about the yen really quick, because we know that the Japan got destroyed. They had their Black Friday.
Yeah.
And regarding about the market, everything else, it's just like, so, where do you see it going? Was it a good buy that it came back down? Is it coming back?
I think we are coming back. We'll probably come back to this area here. I mean, if you look at, look at this trigger here that led to this. Here's another trigger that actually got you long way before the action happened. I mean,
is that a monthly, daily?
Yeah, this is a monthly. This is the daily here.
Daily.
Another trigger here on the. This is where I love to have the 34 at my back. Here's the trigger on the south. But you can see when you have a frequent, reliable trigger, what it can do for you. You would have had this move all the way up.
I see that as a lower low, and then all of a sudden you had a lower high, and that's basically where it triggered. So, this is the style that you're really kind of teaching more of the, as in, obviously not only would you discipline trader as in the psychology part about it, but more of the style of how you're trading the market. Yeah,
I guess what I want to point out is the simplicity of this. You can all, I also use the RSI. You can see that although this is a lower bottom, than this, the RSI actually dipped below here, below 20 here. This is another reason to increase your exposure because you have a number of indicators. So I have a sheet where I just check off all of the things for my position sizing. But yeah, I've been trading off of this particular chart the way it looks right now for the last 2.5 years. No, I don't. You don't see anything about volume. People will argue with me. There are so many different ways to win if you test it and you follow it. You know, you can see how many times we broke the 8 but didn't break the 34, which means you can stay in a trade where you normally would get out if you're somebody that wants more. I mean, if you took on 5 positions here, you take your first one out here on the scalp. As soon as it crossed here and gave you a pop with this accumulation, maybe you take out another one. And with this dive here, with this action here, you take out a third. So there are ways to protect and defend all the way down, you know. And that's really the important part, defending what God has given you, so to speak, what my mother used to say. Anyway, this is the euro. I mean, this is the Japanese yen. You would expect, you know, and it's look at that. I mean, it's following the prescribed these two highs just perfectly. And you know, I would expect to see again. You may maintain this 8 for a while, but I would expect some sort of a rollover, or maybe a test of this area. But again, I can only guess. You know, I don't play the guessing game. I play the give me a trigger and I'll follow it game. You know, and you can take a look at something like this. So I guess one more important thing is that when I judge my position sizing, I often I look at the dailies first, and I judge what I believe is an undertow. I believe right now the undertow is a positive undertow. All along, for the last couple of years, the undertow has been negative. So that when I get a signal on the short side, I will increase my exposure maybe by a tick, because I know the undertow is helping me. So again, position sizing, and you can do that in the futures market. Of course, in the shares market, it's very easy to do, and you just increase your shares. In the futures market, the idea of micros now can really help you expand. I wish you see my hand on like Trump with the accordion. You can go in and out of your position sizing with that. So that's kind of where you know, that's where I am with all of this.
And okay, so we're almost out of time. I know you got to go. And but to them to find out more, Norman, I mean, could you tell a little bit about everyone how they could basically access and kind of find out more about Norman Hall and kind of learn that style or whatever?
Okay, in fact, I'm going to, let's see if I can, because somehow it's not a very good opt-in, but I'll show it to you here. If you go to thedisciplinedtrader.com, you're going to end up here. I think you see it end it? There you go. Right here, right in this black space here, I'm going to send you a weekly 4-minute drill for traders. You know the formula. This is really what got me on the map. I've done 200 of them, where every Saturday for 4 years, I would be just 4 minutes of right between the eyes. Don't give me any bullshit. This is the way it is for traders. If you don't believe it, try it, and I think you'll start believing it. I talk about technique. I talk about the mental and emotional, but get on this list. This will put you in contact with me from a standpoint of this. This is thedisciplinedtrader.com. If you're interested in the prop trading and some of the successes and what my people are doing in that, just go over to the contact and write me. That's a picture of Fausto when he was a little boy. You didn't mind me taking that picture, did you?
It's okay. Yeah, it went viral.
Yeah, it will now. Just send me a contact message, thedisciplinedtrader.com/contact, and I'll send you my latest paper. And in fact, I think Fausto mentioned it. It's a paper called The Death of Simulated Trading, because I think simulated trading can hurt you more than it can help you.
Yeah, it does.
And in prop trading, you can actually test without risking your own money. And if you're pretty good at it, you're rewarded with money to trade. I mean, why sim trade when you can do some evaluation of the prop trading? So, you know, if you request that, I'll send you the paper. But get on the list with the 4-minute drill for traders. Get to know me a little bit better. Find out why you know, why Fausto and I have been around for so long, and why mm-hmm. we're good friends at this. We're here to help people. You know, people ask me, well, you're such a good trainer. Why don't you just, the truth is, okay, you know, life is not all money. You know, life, and I learned this from my wife more than anything. I'd probably still be trading much more heavy if it wasn't for my wife. She says, look, we're here to help people. We're here to, this is our contribution. You can change people's lives. I can change people's lives with the way they think. You can change people's life with the way they trade. Just do it. Don't question it. That's what you're here for. And so, and I won't tell you about past life regression and all, but we're going to live again. You know, I just want to be in a good place. And yeah. I want to come back as an Italian baker. Is where I want to come back at. If I've been good, I think that'll happen, you know?
You know, I've been, same thing here with myself. Like, you've been with me. We've done so many presentations together, you know, and had been through so many expos and stuff. And it's just, there's so many people fail. And it really bothers me is that there are a lot of bad actors out there that will kind of go out there and tell you why they're better and this and that. And people think, oh, you're just trying to do it to make money, this and that. Listen, I have a Christian belief. You give back, you'll get paid back from God and stuff like that. You know what? I've done well, but there's just a lot of people out there that, you know, are going to retire. A lot of people out there that have to trade their pensions. I've seen people blow up their accounts. They work so hard for, and you know, we just want to give back to all the community a little bit more, or at least just put you on the right direction. At least have a little bit. What do I have to lose? What's the worst thing that could happen that you figure out it's not for you? And you know, and that's really what comes about it. That's why you have to. Everyone out there has to kind of like learn. You know, you got to learn the psychology part of it. Like, you know, we have so many people on this podcast, and I say it to everyone, you got to learn a little bit from everyone. You know, everybody's a different personality. Some people might not like me. I'm a little too brash. You know, I do have a little, you know, a little hothead Italian maybe once in a while, but I do because I love you guys. That's why I do. It's like, look at my children. We don't do because we're trying to be mean. We want to help you. Some people like it. Some people don't, but you have to learn a little bit from everyone, but don't go out there and try to do it on your own because it is a very, very big failure, right? But with that said, Norman, listen, thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy to have you back. It's been such a long time. And I know we live in two parts of the, you know, parts of the country, but it's always nice to meet you at some of those events all the time. And so we'd love to have you back. We got to have you back again.
I appreciate you having me. Listen, next time I'll wear the black shirt, you wear the white shirt. And, you know, we'll always remain friends. It's really a pleasure. This is, I haven't talked to you at this length in years. So I'm really, whether people have watched this or not, I've enjoyed talking to you again.
Yeah. And there's some people going to watch some recording. They can always follow us back, you know, and everything else. We'll have a couple of videos made up. We'll make a quick little short, some highlights for all of you. You know, we're broadcasting all social networks. We'll have YouTube. It'll be on X. It'll be on TikTok. It'll be on Instagram. Some of the students here will also be getting it. You'll get it on our mailing list and stuff like that. Like you'll be on, you'll be on Norman's list. So we'll send you all of it, but you got to listen, watch a couple of times. And, you know, watch our videos and stuff like that. It's just going to make you better. The worst thing that happens, you learn something. But
and keep learning. I mean, we said it at the top of the show, keep learning. It never stops. But once you learn and you decide, stick to it. Test it and stick to it. You know, it's the same formula you and I, we continue to use, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Norman. And everybody, thanks for being here. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We're live. We do two podcasts every week. And look forward to seeing the upcoming event. Thanks, everybody.